Let's turn, please, to Psalm 113, please. That's very nice to see everyone tonight. We give you a very warm welcome to the conference. Psalm 113. I'm sure many are acquainted with this psalm. A few things that I've been enjoying with some other scriptures. Psalm 113. It's not a wonder it starts out with praise and it ends with praise. There's only eight psalms that begin that way and end that way, and that's a nice study in itself. Psalm 113, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so on and so forth. Look at verse number 6, verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Here's what's on my mind, verse 7. He raises up the poor out of the dust, reference to death, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, defilement, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people, and so on. Let's emphasize verse 7 again. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke chapter 11. In the New Testament, Luke chapter 11, words of the Lord Jesus. I think most might readily remember the story. The Lord Jesus is casting out a demon, and they accuse him of doing it through the power of the devil. And of course, the Lord Jesus is going to use this to teach a tremendous lesson here. Verse number 18. The Lord Jesus says, Luke 11 and verse 18. He says, Luke 11 verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall, I want you to notice this, his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. A lovely expression. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. And then we're given this amazing picture. Verse 21, when a strong man arm keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he, there's the finger of God, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Well-known words. Words of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 5. I'm sure verse 24, many claim that as their salvation verse. It's been memorized in Sunday school. We could read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Here's the verse on my mind, verse 25. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. Notice this. When the dead shall hear the voice. Isn't that a lovely expression? The voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So I want to emphasize the last part of that verse. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know this is a lot of reading, but I trust you'll see the connection here in just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, preached many times in the gospel to illustrate the power of the gospel. I want to think about the light that's emphasized. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now here's the verse. For God who commanded the light to to shine out of darkness. There's Genesis chapter 1. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So verse 6 again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Now we trust the Lord will give help with the thoughts that we'll take from these four different readings. If you want a little title, when I think of Psalm 113, I'm thinking of a divine hand, because he's lifted us up out of the dust and the dunghill. Then I come into Luke chapter 11, thinking of a divine finger. Tremendous rescue was taking place there. We can all relate to that, those of us that are saved. Then when I come into John chapter 5, thinking of a divine voice, the voice of the Son of God. And then finally when I come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, divine light. Isn't that tremendous? I hope we never get used to being saved. It's very easy to, isn't it? For some, it might be 40 years ago it happened. And as you get older, you start to forget some of the details, don't you? I've been saved 20-some years, and I'd like to try to visit that day, that moment, that afternoon. Many things I forget, but there's something I don't forget. I don't forget a divine rescue that took place. Let us always remember that. I want to start in Psalm 113 because, contrary to what you might think and the refinement you might have come from, every single one of us, be us royalty or not, we all started in the same place. Do you know where Psalm 113 pictures us starting? It's awful hard to take, so I'm glad you're sitting. It's called the dunghill of sin. So let's make that clear. That's a manure pile. That's what dunghill means, okay? We all started on the manure pile of sin. That's where God found us. It didn't matter how much money we had. It didn't matter how religious we were. It didn't matter whether we were connected to royal and we were the Queen of England. It didn't matter. We all, in our sins, were existing on a rotting, stinking mass called the world. Dead. Dark. Defiled. We couldn't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, we didn't even know anything about it until the Word of God came across our path. Amen. It's quite a thing to think about. I mean, that's what I want us to really get a hold of tonight is, my, that's where God found me. And where has he taken me? Well, I love the verse in Ephesians chapter 1. We're waiting until the day of redemption of what? Of the purchase possession. That's what I am now. I am a divine purchase of God. You know, the other day I was in the store and I went to buy some apples, 6 apples. And this lady was at the bin and she's picking up every apple. And I just went over and I went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and off I went. That's men. That's men shoppers for you. I think the woman's still there looking at the apples, trying to figure out which one to buy. But you know, there is something unique, isn't there, about when you buy something. My wife did it just a couple of days ago. She was out shopping in your lovely Florida stores, and she came out and she laid it all on the bed. Look what I bought. What does it look like? What does the dress look like? My girls do the same thing at home. They come home with a red shirt or whatever. And now, mind you, it came off a rack with 20 other red shirts. But Dad, this is the one that I picked out. It's mine, uniquely mine. Isn't that lovely, dear child of God, to reflect back to when in a mass of billions of people, there was a divine hand that just reached down and picked you up. That's something. Wouldn't the conference be worth coming for if I just could rekindle the amazing grace that reached me in my sins? I couldn't boast of anything because we were all on the dunghill of sin. I had just as much dirt on me as you did. That's what I lived in. You know, there's quite a, if you're interested in these sort of things, I like sort of nature things and stuff like that that brings out some of the power of God. There's a series out there called The Planet Earth by the British Broadcasting Corporation, about 5 or 6 different DVDs, and it's all about creation. And they show you the largest bat population in the world. millions of bats live in this massive cave. And they show you the largest manure pile in the world. Over 300 feet high. And because all these bats are living in there, right? So they take the camera and they just start going up this massive mountain. At the first, you don't know what you're going up. Then you figure out what you're going up. And then they take the camera and they zoom right in on it. You know what? It's literally teeming with life. That's when I thought of Psalm 113. It was literally covered with moving creatures. And they lived their entire existence in manure, eating manure, smelling like manure. That was us in our sins. Let us never forget how defiled we were in our sins, how dead we were in, hopeless we were in our sins. That's why I read in Luke chapter 11, because listen, I think it's probably one of the most frightening illustrations that shows us the darkness of our sin. When a strong man arm keepeth his palace. You remember when the world looked like a palace? You thought you had the world by the tail. You know what it says? His goods are in peace. Listen, I know this is not a gospel meeting, but without light from God, sinners are at peace. Totally at peace. No thought of their sin. No thought of judgment for sin. No thought of even meeting God in their sins. Why? Because they're under the power. They're in the kingdom of the devil, just like the Lord said. And there's the strong man arm, and he's got all his armor to keep the goods in peace. But thank God for a stronger than he. Thank God for the finger of God. Do you remember it? When in your deadness of your sin, let's go to John 5. There came the voice. Do you remember the first time you heard the word of God? Came in contact with it? And light. You couldn't explain it. But all of a sudden, what was okay? That's sin. That's wrong. That's going to bring me into judgment. Is there a place called hell? Is there a place called heaven? Is there such a thing as a man called Jesus Christ that died for me? Do you remember it? God help us not to forget it. Because you know what God was trying to do? He was trying to rescue us from the dunghill of sin. He's trying to take us out from the kingdom of the devil and deliver us into the kingdom of God. Isn't it tremendous? That's why I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There we're given a parallel picture. Here we're introduced to the gospel, the blindness on the human heart and the light that shines. And then our mind's taken way back to Genesis. So you allow yourself to think of that created ball way back in Genesis. And it's just enveloped in darkness. And God is on the outside of it. Listen, if God never spoke, it'd still be in darkness. And it wouldn't know any difference. It'd still be in darkness. Do you realize, dear child of God, if we never heard the voice of God, we'd still be in darkness. Hopeless. Helpless. Absolutely nothing. Isn't it tremendous that God ever spoke to us? Doesn't it make you just sort of, well, just sort of stop. Wow, I'm saved. I don't apologize for smiling. Some of us Christians in my land, we sing as if we're half dead. You almost feel like running over and holding up their jaw. It's going to fall right off. You know what I mean? Like if anybody had a reason to sing, it should be us. Anybody. If anybody had a reason to smile, I have been rescued by God. A divine hand lifted me up. A divine finger interrupted my life. A divine voice broke into my existence. Divine light from the outside. God said in Genesis, let there be light. What a day when I started to respond to the word of God. And then God gave me more light. Then I responded and God gave me more light. And I responded, God gave me more light. Don't you ever think for a minute. Now listen, I'm not a Calvinistic preacher, okay? I don't believe in it for a minute. But don't you ever think that you coming to the knowledge that Christ died for your sins was just a matter of putting one and two together and getting three. When I accepted that light that I'm a sinner before God, God just allowed a shaft of light salvation to come into my mind. Christ died for you. And I had a choice to take it or not. I'm so glad I just reached out by faith and took it. On the road to heaven tonight. Saved. I don't know about you, but the conference could end now. We go all home happy, couldn't we? Huh? It's been worth coming, hasn't it? I've been enjoying. Listen, we're going to look into this. And I've heard people say to me, oh my land, that's going to be quite a Bible study now, isn't it? Well, I've been studying Revelation now for the last 3 months. And you know what it has done for me? Revelation will just get you taken up with the glory of Christ. My. And you know what it's done every day when I thank God for sending his son to die for me? It just has caused me to stop a little longer and just marvel at the greatness of such a person to die for me. I don't know about you, but it's warmed my heart to think that the most majestic, you couldn't get any higher, you couldn't get any greater, just willingly stooped in all of his humility. And how does he end the book of Revelation? I, Jesus. There's the humility. Isn't that tremendous? I mean, a book that has more double titles than any book. So lofty, you couldn't even begin to grasp them. And of all of those titles, to think of our Savior, he just willingly says, but I, Jesus. There's the earthly one. There's the one that willingly stooped. So may God encourage our hearts to worship every single day and mean it, our blessed Savior who died for us. Amen.